100 Years War, the interim period, 1340 to 1345. Countess Jeannin Acts, Part 2. Now, the Countess de Montfort battled for 8 months against diplomatic and administrative obstacles. She maneuvered skillfully, trying to gain time. First of all, in February of 1342, Jeannin moved from Embrun to Brest. And then on February the 24th, she was in Brest by the time that she ended up meeting Henry de Malestroit, who was Philip VI's emissary. Now, the emissary, he was a senior judicial officer for the French royal household, but he was also a Breton. He was the brother of the Countess's military commander, and his instructions from Philip VI were simply to require submission from the Countess's supporters, including his brother, as well as Tanguy du Châtel. Then, Jeannin was to surrender Brest, according to the deal signed by her husband, John de Montfort, and John, the Duke of Normandy. That was signed after the fall of Nantes. Well, her friend's first instinct was to resist, but wiser counsel prevailed. The French were only asking for nothing more than a formal surrender, which would still leave the Countess de Montfort and friends in actual possession of the city of Brest. Quote, "Was it not better in a time of weakness to avoid provoking the French?" End of quote. 5 days later, on March the 1st, 1342, the Countess de Montfort negotiated truce. The truce, first of all, froze the military situation until April the 15th, 1342, and second, left the Countess in effective control of Western Brittany. April the 15th was the date that the Earl of Northampton was expected to arrive from England. But we all know that help coming from England, promised on certain dates, is always going to become and arrive appallingly slow. So, the first unofficial or the most effective response from Britain for the English for ships came from the Cinque Ports, the West Country, and Bayonne. They received letters of marque to prey on French shipping in return for a 1/3 cut of the loot. Now, let me explain. Letter of marque is simply a document that creates a privateer. Now, remember, a pirate is someone who is an equal opportunity robber. He robs from everybody. That's why when you catch one, you generally kill them. If you're sailing under a letter of marque, you're a privateer. You are working for someone, and that someone has promised you safety. So in the case of England, the English privateers could loot any ship that was an enemy and come back, and even if you were being chased by the enemy fleet, once you get to an English port, you're safe. Now, if you attack somebody that's not on your list, then you become a pirate. So you have to kind of be careful. But that is pretty much the standard idea of what a letter of marque is, as long as we have pirates and using those situations. At any rate, the letters had been recruited, been received, and the privateers had been recruited by Alfred Stretford of England, who was part of the Countess's administration at Embrun, as the Duke's lieutenant. But unfortunately, while they were very active in the spring of 1342, they were indiscriminate in their choice of victims and not very exacting in their counting of the loot. So this initial privateer group went astray in both methods. They were attacking other people and they weren't providing the necessary funds. Now, the English advance guard was due to sail under Walter Manet to secure landing places, and that fleet was gathered in Portsmouth in March of 1342. But as I said before, we should be familiar with getting English requisitioned fleets gathering on time. 60 medium-sized vessels were called for, but only 44 were found by the end of March. Some arrived full of cargo, which had to be unloaded. Most arrived late. One group refused to enter the harbor until they'd been paid, and 17 failed to show up at all. Mawney was a man of action who never understood bureaucratic limitations. So he spent a great deal of time impatiently fuming. The English main army had issues as well. The delays of the Army of Northampton and Robert Artois don't seem to be due to officials. On this occasion, they actually outperformed expectations. Now, 100 large vessels were available at Yarmouth by the end of the first week of April. And in the harbors between Portsmouth and Bristol, where requisitioning did not begin until April the 1st, 1342, they found 117 ships. But the assembly of the army was deliberately delayed for political reasons. Edward III had made ambitious promises to the Bretons, but had done it very hastily. He had forgotten to consult his allies, because there's a truce going on. If Edward decides to break the truce with his English forces in Brittany, that means that his German and Brabant allies, who are not openly attacking, will be considered enemies, and the French may go ahead and attack them immediately. So he needs to talk with them and try to work this out. So there is a lull in the action, which unfortunately is not good for the Countess de Montfort. But they will eventually get some aid. Now the sources for this, the Hundred Years' War by Pierrot, the Hundred Years' War by Nylands, and the Hundred Years' War, Volume 1, Trial by Battle, by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, check out the links, check out everything that's there. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.